Good evening, everyone. This is WRGC 635. And it's time for our Tuesday night edition of the Utah GMRS Information Group Net. We'll start by taking some check-ins and see what everybody's up to. Please come slowly one at a time and call in now.
WSCL 757, David, just checking in. Don't have nothing new to say.
Good to hear you. Appreciate you checking in with us. Others who'd like to check in to our Tuesday night edition of the Utah GMRS Information Group Net, please call out.
WSCE 320, Matt and Quentin.
Others would like to check in, please call. Thing check in for the Utah GMRS Information Group Net. Tuesday night edition on the Promontory Repeater. If you have not yet checked in and would like to, please call now. Another call out for check-in for the Utah GMRS Information Group Net, Tuesday night edition on the Promontory Repeater. If you'd like to check in and visit with us this evening, please call now. You real quick, Matt. Steve, it's kind of short time, and what you got going tonight? .320, you're up.
Hey, I just want to point out this awesome sunset over. So, that's a good video. Hey, one other thing I want to point out, Prime Day today. If anyone's looking to build out their fleet a little more or get gifts for family members or whatever, the SID radio TD-83 that I'm talking on now is on sale for $20. I've never seen it this low. Maybe one other time. But anyway, great gift, good deal. Other than that, kids are headed to camp tomorrow. Another camp, yeah, I know. And that leaves some time for me and the wife. We're gonna do a quick two-night road trip while they're gone, and excited for that. That's the first time in about 10 years that we didn't have to have a family member watch our kids. It's exciting. Not much to record other than we've been considering postponing the kids net until the end of summer. Seems like patients definitely dwindled in interest with it. But maybe, I don't know. I'll get your thoughts on that, Craig. Other than that, that's all I got. Back to that.
Well, sounds sounds like you got some good plans going there. Summer can be hard, and especially when it's light outside in the evenings, and kids want to be outside, so probably not a bad idea to postpone it until fall at least, or everybody gets back into school or something like that. Sometimes when you stop doing an edit, it's hard to get it going again, but, you know, kids have friends, and at this point I think it's down to just a few anyway, so that's probably not a bad idea. I would just throw it out there the next Sunday or two, and you're probably just going to be talking to the same people you already talked to, and most of them are in the house, so there you have it. That might be your answer.
At this point, we may as well make it a low-power simplex net, right, within the house? So, yeah.
I could do it. Well, I should have waited for Prime Day. I ordered a couple of TIDHAs like a week ago. And probably would have been smarter to wait until Prime Day. Probably could have gotten a better deal on them. Anyhow, they're just a giveaway anyhow. Let's see if anyone else is out there. This is our Tuesday night edition of the Utah GMRS Information Group Net on the Promontory Repeater. If you would like to join us, please call now.
DL376, Matt in Kaysville.
Good evening, Matt. Thanks for joining us. Others who'd like to join us this evening, please call.
WRDG 885, this is Denver out in Turkey.
Good evening, Denver. Good to hear you. Others who'd like to join us, please call. This is WRQC 635. We're the net control operator tonight for the Utah GMRS Information Group Net on the Promontory Repeater. And let's check in with Matt 376.
WSCL 376 here. I don't have a whole lot going on radio-wise. Been doing a lot of work and family stuff. It is summer. Other than that, I totally forgot it was Prime Day as well. I came in the middle of that conversation. I'm going to have to log on tomorrow and see what else they have going on, because I think it's 8th, 9th, and 10th or something like that. But other than that, not much here. I'm going to return it back to net, WSCL 376.
Matt? Yeah, no excuse. Too feeble to spend a little more money, I guess. Oh, well, let's see what Denver's up to. 885.
Just trying to stay out of the heat and doing some computer work.
Out of the heat idea, that's a great idea. We've had a radioactive week. You can't let a good holiday go to waste, so been doing quite a bit in helping out. It's more on the ham side, but helped out with the North Salt Lake fireworks, doing communications there. Also organized a bunch of operators, you know, for the Layton parade and fireworks. So we've been out talking on radios quite a bit, and it was good stuff. And I think it was great. Communities both enjoyed it, and it was kind of a fun time. So that's what I've been up to lately with radios, other than calling net. Speaking of which, this is WRQC 635, net control for are the Utah GMRS Information Group Matt Tuesday Night Edition. If anyone else would like to join us tonight, please call now.
WRUE 201.
Good evening, Matt. Other operators who'd like to join us, please call. We have a little competition on the channel tonight also, but anyway, let's go to Matt. What you got for us on our GMRS side tonight, Matt?
Well, not too much on the GMRS side. Everything was rather normal. Spent a bunch of time with family over the 4th of July weekend, and didn't do too much with radio. Listened around a little bit here and there. Other than that, really not all that much happening. Everything is all right, and the weather is nice and hot, so, yeah, can't complain, so back to net control, WRUE 201.
Thanks, Matt. I think we're all trying to stay cool if we can. Just trying to be cool cats. Well, let's do one more call out, see if anyone else would like to join us tonight on our Tuesday night edition of the Utah GMRS Information Group Net. If you've not had an opportunity to check in and would like to, please call now. Nice evening. I hope everybody's out there enjoying it. And we're going to go ahead and close the net early tonight so we can enjoy it too. We're going to close the net down here at 9:12 p.m. local time. Return this repeater and frequency back to normal GMRS usage. We appreciate always Scott, Gene, and the crew for keeping the repeater up and going for us and for making it available for all of us to use. We encourage you to use it. With that, this is WRQC 635.
949 monitoring. How you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, I was trying to break in just to add something to your conversation earlier. Typically the protocol when somebody throws their call out in between, like I did earlier today with you and Brandon, you know, when I threw out the 936 and Brandon said, oh, hey, nice to hear from you, then he never did come back to me at all. That's because the only reason I was breaking in is because I had something valid to tell you about what you were talking about, because I do it all the time. I have converted R12 to 134A multiple times, and the total cost of the parts needed is $10, and I've been successful every time.
I get that, and I mean, I will admit, I'm kind of bad about throwing my call sign out here and there, but trying to get a little bit better. Typically, I'm just on Semplex, but, and as for the AC, yes, 90% of the time, you can just run the fittings and do the conversion charge rate and everything, and it works really well. A lot of guys, though, do prefer running a parallel flow condenser because you get better results. R134A tends to be a little bit more difficult to cool, but it's not 100% necessary. You'll get good results running R12 parts.
Yeah, that's true. I was just trying to add that because to your conversation, you know, I just wanted to add that to the conversation, but, you know, he never did come back to me when I threw my call out. You know, that basically that means when I threw the call out right in between a conversation, it's a kind of the way I've noticed that things roll for the last 30 years that I've been doing this. What that means is that the person that threw their call out right in the middle of the conversation has something very valid to add to the conversation, and then they'll jump right back out. You know what I mean?
Super familiar with. I mean, I'm still pretty new to all of this, so it didn't quite click with me, but he's been doing this quite a bit longer, or at least dealt with it. But yeah, no, I definitely see your points on that for sure.
Yeah, it's no big deal. I don't really care, but I threw the call out and he says, oh, hey, thanks, you know, nice to hear from you, Scott. Then he never did address the fact that I broke in. He never did after that. I thought, okay, all right, he must not want to hear what I have to say. But yeah, it's like $10 for the two fittings and the Schrader valves, you know, that little kit. And it's worked for me every time I've tried it. I don't like doing that, but every time I've tried it and I've told the person, hey, there's no guarantee, you got to pay for all this no matter what, whether it works or not. And then when they agree to it and I try it anyway, I've actually been successful every time.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the main things that I do like doing is going to a slightly smaller orifice tube, if it does have an orifice tube or extension valve or whatever. But typically I like to swap out the orifice tube, something a little bit more modern, keep the refrigerant doing what it's supposed to be doing. Because I've noticed it doesn't perform super great with the R12 rated specs for the orifice tube. I don't know if it's the diameter is just too big or what. I'm not sure, but it's just something I've noticed, and I usually go for either the blue or red Ford orifice tubes, and they tend to work pretty well.
Yeah, and I can't remember what diameters those are, but as you know, as long as you see the high side and the low side about to the textbook pressures, then, you know, you're good to go after that.
I think I need to adjust my AC a little bit. It's my 79 GMC. After I did a different compressor, I went with an R4 compressor, I charged up to the 2.1 pounds or whatever, so it's only 70% instead of 75, and I'm thinking I might go back to that 75% because I was finding better results that way. But I've got the, I want to say it's a 62,000th orifice tube, but I kind of want to go down to like a 57,000th and see what that does for this climate. Because, I mean, it cools really well on a 100-degree day. Typically, I'm seeing about 45 degrees to the vent, which good enough to keep the sweat off you, but a little bit colder would be nice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I can tell you know what you're doing, and that's all that matters, because you know what you're doing, so you'll be able to figure it all out. I do a lot of R134A. I don't do much R1234YF. I have the manifold gauges for it. I just don't like doing it. You know, 134A is just so much, just so easy and cheap on the Freon. And the R1234YF is spendy.
Absolutely, and I get that. I mean, a lot of guys either run, you know, one of three options. You've got R22, which is a good replacement for R12, but you've also got propane, which a lot of guys do like running, but I don't know how I feel about it, other than, you know, excellent cold air, but that's about it. And then with the RYF1234, whatever, it's expensive. I think at my cost, a couple years back, it was still like $600-$700 for a bottle, and R134A was still like $250, and it's actually gone down a little bit since then.
Yep, exactly. So I got the manifold gauges, and I even have a lot of the Freon sitting here, you know, the R1234YF, but when a car rolls in and needs work on R1234YF, I usually tell them, no, I don't do work on that anymore. I don't do work on 1234YF. So I usually decline it, and that's kind of silly because there's money to be made there, but I just usually decline it because the liability is high too, you know, like, is it all going to work out? Is it going to work out perfect or not? You know, that kind of thing. And, you know, is the person thinking that they should get a guarantee on the deal or not? And it's hardly worth risking. So I just play with R1. Even though I have the equipment for 1234YF, I just play with 134. You know, I actually have one can of R12 sitting on the shelf. I just use it as like a nostalgic item just to look at. So I do have one can of R12. Yeah. I'm never going to use it. Never, ever. Because if I had ever had a car come in with R12, I would make them convert it to 134 anyway. So, or else I wouldn't do it. So, I don't know. So, yeah, if you want a can of R12, I got it. I'll never use it. I just use it for something to look at.
No, I definitely get that. And thing with R12, though, is, I mean, it works, but it is getting harder to find, and it is expensive. A lot of guys do hoard it, and it kind of helps, but at the same time, it also drives the price up. And honestly, a lot of people will argue it, but going from R12 to 134A, you're not going to see very much of a cooling difference. You might, you know, run a little bit less Freon, swap the oil out for PAG, you know, 150 or whatever you want to run. And you're really only going to be maybe 3 or 4 degrees different. I mean, a lot of guys will say it's all night and day, but it's really not if everything's properly set. R1234YF is a little bit different, though. It's efficient, but the way it works, the compound and everything is just weird, and I don't know. I mean, there's still not a whole lot of aftermarket support for older vehicles with it yet, so it makes conversions on an already converted system difficult. I mean, on factory R1234YF vehicles, it's kind of, it's expensive to work on them, and you can't really guarantee in it, but, so I definitely see your points on that one, but yeah.
Yeah, I think Chevy started early, something like 2017, and so my 2021 GMC definitely has 1234YF, but my 2025 Ford has 134A. So it's definitely not a federally mandated thing, you know, like our 134A was, you know, when they switched over from 12. That was a hard set thing that everybody had to switch the same year. But 1234YF didn't turn out that way. Some manufacturers like GM chose to switch to it, and other manufacturers like Ford said, ain't no way we're doing it. So, interesting.
The switch from R12 to R134A, the federal mandate, was pretty sudden, honestly. And that was, you know, way before my time even. But I'm hearing that they're going to be changing that with the R1234YF and a second version for, I want to say it's either 2026 or 2027. And that's when it's going to be federally mandated to have everything R1234YF. So that'll be really interesting, because you're going to end up having to spend the next 20, 25 years phasing R134A out, because unlike R12, there's billions and billions of vehicles that still run R134A. R12 was really popular, but it had no shadow compared to R134A, and I'd like to see how they try and fight that, because it's an extremely large number on the people you have to try and convince.
Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%. You are right there. You got your finger on the button. I can tell you got a feel for it. The market. Alrighty, well, gotta jump out. Gonna wind down, button a few things up and call it a day here. But yeah, that kind of stuff's always intriguing and fun to chat about for me. Especially with somebody who knows a lot about it like you. Okay, you take care. I'll talk to you soon. WRCN 936.
Awesome, yeah, and it was great talking to you. Definitely a little bit of change of pace, so. But I'll let you get going. It's getting late now, so. WRX, Wi-Fi 49.